Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back. This is episode 348. We're really close to that 350 mark. That's going to be pretty interesting. I had a brother actually ask me what we were going to do for episode 357. And I thought, how interesting. That would be a themed episode for sure. Maybe. We'll see. Not much going on this week. I just wanted to mention that I will be at West Alice Lodge, number 291 in West Alice, Wisconsin, on the 15th of this month. So that's Friday, and we'll be presenting at about 7 p.m. or 7:30. And I would plan on 7 p.m., though. I'll be presenting Freemasonry in Colonial America, and we cover quite a bit of really interesting stuff there in that presentation, including some very rarely seen documents, usually only by a couple of people, and those other people that have seen it, very rare, those who have seen it, likely saw it in my presentation. So if you're interested in that, come on out on the 15th, West Alice Lodge, 291, West Alice, Wisconsin, which is Friday for everybody. After that, I don't think I'm doing another speaking engagement until August. The first piece I have for you this week is a really interesting one regarding the black cube and a white ball and just how those work and maybe the impact that they could have if we're not using them appropriately. So we'll go ahead and check that out in just a minute. We've also got illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison coming on the program for a wonderful segment of the Masonic Minute. And we wrap it up with a great piece from Todd E. Creason. So let's go ahead and get right into it. The black cube. A white ball elects, a black cube, or ball, rejects. This comes from a Short Talk Bulletin, number 29, published in November of 1929. Now, those of you who know, I typically don't read a lot of the Short Talk Bulletins anymore now that they have their own podcast. I don't want to step on their feet. However, I don't think they've done this one, and there's a little bit of controversy when it comes to talking about when to use and when not to use a black ball or the black cube. In my own personal experience, I hear a lot of arguments about talking about using a black cube as being unbrotherly, and we should be willing to accept our brothers and their faults and all these kind of things. And I think that's a dangerous mindset. I'll leave that at that. But of course, there are circumstances for everything, and I certainly do not want to say that this is a end-all, be-all statement or anything like that. Of course, there are states that allow men who have felonies or other things into the fraternity based on the nature of those crimes or whatever they are. But nonetheless, I'll let this piece speak for itself. Again, the black cube, a white ball elects, a black cube or ball rejects. This, or some similar statement, is usually made at the lodge prior to voting on the application of one who would be an initiate of Freemasonry. In all jurisdictions in the United States, the ballot on an applicant is taken secretly. That is, with no brother knowing how another may vote. In most jurisdictions, it is an infraction of Masonic law. In all, it is a serious infraction of Masonic ethics to endeavor to ascertain how another brother will vote or has voted on an applicant or to disclose how he voted or will vote. The quote-unquote secrecy of the ballot and the universal, in this country, requirement that a ballot be unanimous to elect are two of the greatest bulwarks of the fraternity. Occasionally, both the secrecy and the unanimity may seem to work a hardship on a man apparently worthy of being taken by the hand as a brother, but no human institution is perfect, and no human being acts always according to the best that is in him. The occasional failure of the system to work complete justice may be laid to the individual using it and not to the fraternity. Quote, unquote, harmony being the strength and support of all well-regulated institutions, especially this of ours. This phrase, or one similar, is familiar to all Masons. Harmony, oneness of mind, effort, ideas, and ideals is one of the foundations of Freemasonry. Anything which interferes with harmony by so much hurts the institution. Therefore, it is essential that lodges have a harmonious membership, that no man be admitted to the Masonic home of any brother against his will. For this reason, it is required that the names of applicants to a lodge be set before the entire membership prior to a vote, that all may know that John Smith is to be balloted upon, that any who think him unfit, timber, for the lodge, or who have personal objections to entering into the sacred relation of brotherhood with him, may have the opportunity to say no. The power thus put in the hands of the individual Master Mason is very great. No officer, not even the Grand Master, may inquire how we vote, or why we voted as we did. No Grand Master has the power to set aside the black cube we cast. If, in the ballot box, is a black cube, the applicant is rejected. In many jurisdictions, a single black cube in the ballot box requires the ballot to be taken again, immediately, to avoid the possibility of a mistake. If the black cube reappears the second time, the applicant is rejected. This rejection of an application does more than merely prevent the applicant from being given the degrees. It creates over the petitioner a lodge jurisdiction. He may not apply to another lodge for the degrees refused him by this one without first securing from that lodge a waiver of jurisdiction. He may not again apply even to the lodge which rejected him until after a certain statutory period, usually 6 months, when his application is again received and brought up for ballot. The fact that he previously applied and was rejected is stated to the lodge. In other words, the casting of a black cube not only rejects for the degrees but puts a certain disability upon the applicant, which he is powerless to remove. The brother who casts a ballot, then, upon the applicant, wields a tremendous power. Like most powers, it can be used well or ill. It may work harm or good, not only upon him upon who it is used, but to him who uses it. Unlike many great powers put into the hands of men, however, this one is not subject to review or control by any human agency. No king, prince, potentate, no law, custom, or regulation, no Masonic brother or officer can interfere with an individual's use of his power. For no one knows who uses the black cube. No one knows why one is cast. The individual brother and his God alone know. The very absence of any responsibility to man or authority is one of the reasons why the power should be used with intelligence, and only when, after solemn self-inquiry, the reason behind its use is found to be Masonic. Anyone can think of 100 reasons why black cubes are cast. Our neighbor applies for the degrees. Outwardly, he is an honest man of good character, bearing a good reputation. However, we may have heard him quarreling violently with his wife. We are morally sure that he struck her. We can't prove it. The poor woman never said anything about it. She suffered a blow and silence rather than endure the greater agony of publicity. It is not for us to have him arrested as a wife-beater if his wife can stand him, but we don't want a coward, a bully in our lodge. Naturally, and most brethren will say properly, we cast the black cube. Our office associates want to be a Mason. He applies to our lodge. As far as the investigating committee can ascertain, he is a good man, honest, pays his debts, is a church member, a hard worker, but we have heard him repeat to us and to others matters which we know were given to him in confidence. We have learned to distrust his discretion. We don't believe that a promise means much to him. It may be, of course, that a Masonic obligation would be kept, but we are not sure. Naturally, we vote against him. Some men, otherwise good and true, are ill-natured, violent-tempered, disagreeable. To admit them into the lodge might destroy its harmony of spirit. Others are vain and boastful, self-seeking, apt to bend every agency in which they come into contact to their own ends. We do not believe such a man will be an asset to our lodge. We keep him out. A certain man is our personal enemy. The quarrel between us may have nothing to do with right and wrong. It may be the result of merely a lifetime of antagonism. He applies to our lodge. Our lodge is a Masonic home. We would not want this man in our family home. We do not think we will be happy with him in our Masonic home. It is our privilege to keep him out. These and 1,000 other good reasons are all proper ones for the casting of a black cube. If the lodge might suffer, if we might suffer, if we know that our absent brother would suffer from the applicant being elected, we have the best of reasons for seeing that he is rejected. Such use of the power is proper, Masonic, ethical, wise, and just. But there is another side of the shield. Unfortunately, no hard and fast rule can be laid down. There is no way to explain this is a good reason, but that is not a good reason, for casting a black cube. Each of us has to judge the reason for himself, yet some suggestions may be given. We know a man we dislike. He has different ideas from ours. He belongs to a different set. He is not the type we admire. Our dislike does not amount to hatred, nor is it predicated upon any evil in the man's character. He and we are antipathic. We rub each other the wrong way. When he applies to our lodge, we must decide this question. Will the unpleasantness to us in having him as a member be greater than the good to him which may come from his reception of the Masonic teachings? Are we sure that we cannot accept him as a brother merely because we have never liked him? We all know cases like this. The president of the bank turns down Johnson's application for a second mortgage. Johnson makes the matter personal. He has it in for the president. The president applies for the degrees. Someone casts a black cube. It may and may not be Johnson. We don't know, but perhaps later we hear Johnson's boast. I got even with that son of a gun who turned down my loan. He doesn't say how he got even, of course, but we are pretty sure we know. Such use of the black cube is, of course, utterly un-Masonic. It is a misuse of great power. As well, turn down the minister of the Baptist Church because he doesn't agree with our minister, who is a Methodist. As well as to turn down the automobile dealer because he refused to give us a larger allowance on our old car. Turning the Masonic black cube into a secret dagger for personal revenge is indefensible. Freemasonry works some curious miracles. A self-made man applied 5 times for the degrees in a certain lodge. The man was rather ignorant, yet a commercial success. He had literally raised himself by his bootstraps from the poverty of the streets to a business position of some prominence. Yet he was rather raw, rough and ready, even uncouth. No shadow of personal unworthiness rested upon him. He was honest, upright, a good citizen. In this lodge, a certain past master, as was discovered in after years, voted 4 times against this applicant. The past master left the city. On the 5th application, the petitioner was elected. Something in Masonry took hold of his heart. Through Masonry, he was led to acquire some of the education he lacked. Through Masonry, he was led into the church. In time, he made such a reputation for himself as a Mason that he was put in line and finally achieved the solemn distinction of being made master of his lodge. He is still regarded as one of the best, most constructive, and ablest masters that the lodge ever had. In the course of 10 or 12 years, the absent past master returns. In the light of history, he confessed, which, strictly speaking, he should not have done, that it was he who kept this man out for what he really believed were good reasons. He thought the roughneck would detract from the dignity and honor of the fraternity. Yet this same roughneck, through Masonry, became educated, a good churchman, a fine Mason and excellent officer. Had the past master whose black cube were cast with honest intention to benefit the fraternity not left town, the blessings of Masonry might forever have been denied a heart ready to receive them, and society, lodge, and church been prevented from having the services of a man who gave largely of himself to all three. The black cube is a great protection of the fraternity. It permits the brother who does not desire to make public his secret knowledge to us to use that knowledge for the benefit of the craft. It gives to all members the right to say who shall not become members of their lodge family. But at the same time, it puts to the test the Masonic heart and the personal honesty of every brother who deliberates on its use. The black cube is a thorough test of our understanding of the Masonic teaching of the cardinal virtue justice, which, quote-unquote, enables us to render to every man his just due without distinction. We are taught of justice that, quote, it should be the invariable practice of every Mason never to deviate from the minutest principle thereof, end quote. Justice to the lodge requires us to cast the black cube on an applicant we believe to be unfit. Justice to ourselves requires that we cast the black cube on the application of a man we believe would destroy the harmony of our own lodge. Justice to the applicant, we are taught to render justice to every man, not merely to Masons, requires that no black cube be cast for little reasons, small reasons, mean reasons. And justice to justice requires that we think carefully, deliberate slowly, and act cautiously. No man will know what we do. No eye will see, save all that of the seeing eye which pervades the innermost recesses of our hearts, and will, so we are taught, reward us according to our merits. Shakespeare said, quote, "Oh, it is excellent to have a giant's strength, but it is tyrannous to use it like a giant." End quote. The black cube is a giant strength to protect Freemasonry. Used thoughtlessly, carelessly, without Masonic reason, it crushes not only him at whom it is aimed, but him who casts it. A well-used black cube goes into the ballot. Ill-used, it drops into the heart and blackens it. Well, I hope you enjoyed that piece. I found it very edifying and something to certainly think about. What reasons would we have for blackballing an applicant? What reasons would we have that when we look at our own self-introspective nature, we find that maybe there are reasons why we shouldn't cast the black cube? In any case, I'll leave it at that, and I hope you guys enjoyed it and gave you something to really think about the next time you may have some second thoughts about that man coming into the lodge who's knocked at the door waiting for an answer.
One aspect of our ancient craft that fits right into this so-called age of diversity is the fact that our various rituals are nothing if not diverse. All I have to do to find a ritual that looks strange to me is to drive just a few miles west into Kansas. No offense, Kansas. Rather than gripe about the potential for this to add any confusion among the craft, I think it's better to look at it from the point of view that, like most diversity, it makes things more interesting. That said, there's a certain ritualistic continuity here in the U.S. through which we all recognize the degree work in spite of the fact that a steward may hold his rod differently in one jurisdiction than he does in another. Years back, however, I saw a group of brothers from the United Kingdom perform a third degree. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around some of that. I found something fascinating in the emulation rite practiced in the UK and elsewhere, a new working tool. In the words of Otha Wingo, past master and fellow of the Missouri Lodge of Research, the emulation rite surprises us with three working tools for this degree: the skirret, the pencil, and the compasses. The pencil and the compasses. I get that. The skirret? Never heard of it. I just had to know what that was. Google it, and depending on which one of the accepted spellings you use, you'll wind up with a biography of actor Tom Skerritt or a vegetable of the same name. Believe me, it's hard to find. The internet may not be your best source for obscure and archaic working tools. Still, a little perseverance paid off. A skirret is a wooden tool shaped like a T. About halfway down the vertical stake is another piece of wood parallel to the one on top. The two wooden cross pieces are connected by a dowel at each end. A long piece of string is wound around the dowels. When in use, the craftsman unwinds the long piece of string from its spindle and uses it to lay out the design of the structure being built. It acts on a center pin from which a line is drawn out to mark the ground in the fashion of a chalk line. Or from the ritual, the skirret is an implement which acts upon a center pin, whence a line is drawn to mark out ground for the foundation of the intended structure. In certain instances, with the spindle as the center, it is also handy for drawing a large circle. The skirret symbolism is fairly straightforward. It represents the straight, true, and undeviating conduct we must use to lay out the course of our lives in our pursuit of more light. Again, from the ritual, the skirret points out that straight and undeviating line of conduct laid down for our pursuit in the volume of sacred law. So there you have it, the skirret, a working tool so ancient it's not only not in use today, but it's also almost forgotten, yet brand new to many of us in the United States. And I might add, now among my favorites. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
All right, I hope you enjoyed illustrious brother Steve L. Harrison's Masonic Minute, the Skirrit. What an instrument. Pretty interesting stuff. If you like that video, you gotta subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just head on over to YouTube, type in Whence Came You, follow the channel. All of our episodes are there as well, or most of them anyway, a good chunk of them. But we also have all of the Masonic Minutes that Steve has done for us in video form, so feel free to make a playlist and play them on Open Lodge Nights and get some gaining interest there for your members, something to talk about, something to think about. They're always educational, but sometimes some of them are so good, they serve as almost kind of commercials for Masonry. Before we move to the next section of the podcast, I did want to mention how to support this show. So head on over to wcypodcast.com, hover over support the show, click on make a direct donation. Here on this page, you can make a one-time donation, any amount you choose, whether that's 50 cents or $5 or whatever it is, and that helps out. We also have another option, which is to do a monthly donation, whether you're a contributor at $2 a month, a fellow at $5, or a producer at $10. Any of those really assist. All that money goes right into our program. Additionally, we have a limited edition shop on our website. You can hover over support the show, click on limited edition shop, and you'll see our lapel pins. We actually only have a few left, and I don't know if I'm going to have any more made. So now's the time to order them if you're looking for one. I think I have one set of cufflinks left. I have a few money clips left. We are sold out of tie bars, but I also have the Mason's Lady car decal, if you're interested in that. And of course, the book that I wrote with Brother John Ruark, which is called It's Business Time, Adapting a Corporate Path for Freemasonry. And what we're doing with that book is essentially adapting some great corporate success things that worked in the business world, and we're changing them around just slightly to make them work for Freemasonry. And I think you'll find it a very interesting read, a concise guide, and we've got great reviews on it. It was number one in its category several different times in different places, so definitely check that out. Those of you who joined the Great Books program, thank you so much. We had a few guys join that Great Books program through the Intellectual Linear Progression from Brother Scott Hambrick. So we also had a great episode with him on the show as well. I did want to mention that the Great Books program is closed at the moment for this session. They will be reopening their session really soon. How soon? How about August 16th? So August 16th is like the next semester, if you will, of the Great Books program. And I highly recommend you check that out and set aside a few dollars if you're interested in this. What is it? So the seven liberal arts and sciences encompass a ton of stuff, but perpetual learning in a classical sense is something that we're called to as Freemasons. And because of this, again, I started a new relationship with Brother Scott Hambrick, who's created this great program. I want you guys to go back and listen to the episode where we talked about this. That is episode number 343, and that's the Great Books with Scott Hambrick. We had a wonderful conversation in there, but what this is, it's a program that's monthly, and they ship books directly to you that they are yours. And if you use a promo code WCY when you sign up, you'll get 25% off of your first 3 months. So again, a great program. You're going to have actual video conferences to discuss the text with a small community of readers that are Socratic seminars hosted by trained individuals. Registration for the next class will open up on August 16th. We have a promo code with Onnit Labs, so if you go to onnit.com or you go through our own links, which is a little bit better for us because then they know where to send the donation back to the program, hover over support the show on wcypodcast.com, hover over Get Onnit Alpha Brain is in parentheses. Alpha Brain is my favorite, so you can click on that and use the promo code WCY. You'll get 10% off, which usually covers the shipping. It's FedEx, and it's great stuff. You can read all about that supplement right there. All natural stuff. Make yourself better. We make good men better. That's a little help. And last but not least, Banker's Best. So if you check out the tab for Banker's Best Beard and Skincare, you can see all of the great things he's got for us over there. He released a special product, King Solomon's Reserve Beard Oil and Balms, which are available, which are really kind of cool. They are designed to be similar to what would have been available in those times. So Black Fig and Honey is the formula. Incredible stuff. In fact, with that line, 50% of the profits from that product are donated right back to our show. So use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout. But among that, he's also got several other great products out there. I just want to read this from his website because I thought it was great. He says, people ask me all the time, what made you start doing this? And the answer, he said, is easy, but not short. So he'll try to condense it as much as he can. He said he wanted to help others look, feel, and do their best through our products and philosophy of community engagement and success. Now for a more detailed version, if you're interested, he said, the fact is, Banker's Best was started in 2016 by Levi Banker, who's in St. Louis. Now, he's a brother of the craft. He said he started it as a way to provide top quality hair and skincare products at a very affordable and extremely competitive price. It soon evolved into a way to give back to the community through engagement and giving. When asked, he's always more than happy to help out by donating products or money to causes or events. He's been lucky enough to partner with other companies and people to share the rewards from certain products. And when you see them selling at fairs and competitions or anywhere else, you better believe that at least 25% of the profits are going to the cause. So this is his business. Its products are nothing without the support of the community, and so he gives back wherever he can. He said he stands by the look the best, feel the best, do the best every day is at his core, and it's a shortened mantra that he lives by. And so if you're interested in that and helping out this mission and checking out some of the great products he's got, buy bankersbest.com or just head over to wcypodcast.com and hover over, support the show, and click on Banker's Best. So without any further delays, let's get into this week's second piece, which is by illustrious brother Todd E. Creason, the founder of the Midnight Freemasons. He wrote a piece called Exercising Self-Discipline, and this is something that we all can work on. Just like any muscle in the human body, character traits also grow stronger when they are exercised. Of these, I think most will agree that self-discipline is key to many of those most desirable traits. It's also the most difficult to master, if we ever really do master it. If you look at just a few of the virtues a Mason strives towards, temperance, fortitude, and prudence, you'll realize that without self-discipline, there is little hope of making progress in any of those other virtues. Temperance is not about abstinence as many believe today. It's about moderation. It's about maintaining balance and applying due restraint to our passions so that we are not tempted by the allurements of excess. Masons are taught to avoid excess in all things, and temperance is that virtue that reminds us to practice all things in moderation. That requires a level of self-discipline. Fortitude is that virtue that provides us with strength. As we are taught, fortitude is that steady purpose of mind that enables us to withstand any pain, peril, or danger. It allows us to stand strong in our words and deeds and not stray off the noble path. Again, this requires mastery of self-discipline because standing strong in the face of danger or even criticism is a very difficult thing to do. Prudence is a virtue closely related to both temperance and virtue. It is a virtue that helps us regulate our lives by applying reason and wisdom to any given situation to help to determine the proper path. It is the wisdom to know when to act and when not to act. It is the wisdom to know when it is best to speak and when it is best to remain silent. It is the wisdom to know when to fight and when to flee. Prudence is the balance between temperance and fortitude, and without question, prudence requires a great deal of self-discipline. I'm an impulsive person by nature. Self-discipline is not something that has come easy to me. It's something I've worked very hard on since I've become a Mason, and I've made tremendous progress over the last 13 years. Much of the progress I've made is because I practice self-discipline every day. I discovered early on that I do great at self-discipline until I'm tempted, or I was put under stress, or I was challenged in some way. Then my self-discipline vanished in an instant. That's because I had self-discipline in theory only, but not in practice. I'd have a great day and meet all my diet and exercise goals, and then I'd drive by the Dairy Queen on the way home, and suddenly I'm eating a peanut butter parfait. I'd stop by the tavern on the way home at 5 o'clock for one beer, and I'd still be there at 10 o'clock or later. I'd make an effort to control my temper until somebody said something I didn't like, and in a flash, well, you get the idea. So I decided to teach myself self-discipline the same way I learned how to write books and play the piano. I practice it over and over again every day, and over time it becomes easier to apply in those situations when I'm tested. I have a number of daily exercises I use. The purpose of these exercises is to challenge myself and to make myself pay particular attention to my words, my actions, and my attitudes in the areas that I feel I need improvement in. I intentionally make myself live outside my comfort zone in different areas so that I can better handle myself in a proper manner when real challenges present themselves. Some of the daily challenges are fairly easy. but require me to think about one particular area for a day. Other challenges are very difficult for me, and I'll often have to repeat them for a few days in a row until I move on. And I'll go back to those again and again until they get easier to accomplish. Some of my challenges I'll set up to last a week. Some of my challenges involve diet and exercise. Some involve my interactions with other people. Some involve distractions that I need to eliminate. Some involve productivity. Some involve getting out of the rut that I've found myself in. Some involve changing the way I think about things that repeatedly seem to irritate me. Patience is something I'm particularly challenged with at times, so those are exercises I go back to time and again. One thing you can be sure of is that I'm working on something every day, and it works. The more you exercise something, the stronger it gets. Makes no difference if it's a muscle or a trait, and just like with athletes, the time they spend training and working out off the field prepares them for the challenges they face on the field. As I've said many times before, it's not just about doing Freemasonry, it's about living Freemasonry. A big part of Freemasonry is that idea of personal growth and self-development. You can learn the principles of Freemasonry from books, but you can only apply the principles of Freemasonry through practices in your daily life. Freemasonry isn't 3 degrees and done. It's a lifetime commitment to keep chipping away throughout our entire lives on that rough ashlar, Toddy Creason, 33rd degree. That's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the program. We'll be back on next week with another great set of papers. And of course, if you like those papers and you're looking for them and you want a copy of them for yourself, go ahead and download the app. Just go on over to wcypodcast.com, click on where to listen, and you'll see at the top there's a link to find the app for Android and one for Apple. Essentially, what those will do is it'll take you to a page where you can download the Podcast Source app. Once you're inside that application, you're going to search for Whence Came You. I know it sounds like a lot of steps. It's really not. Search for Whence Came You once you're in the app. Click to add it to your shows and you'll see there's extras there that you can download. And those extras are always the papers that we read on the program, as well as a Masonic themed wallpaper for your mobile device. Sometimes there are some other extras, but typically that is what we're after. And those apps are totally free. So check them out. I'm sure you will enjoy them. And that's it for this week. So until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.